Welcome back, everyone. This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Scott, joined by Rich with your average, everyday Chiefs talk. All of our episodes are available on most streaming platforms. Just search for the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. You can also check us out on our social media pages, such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, for the latest episodes and up-to-date Chiefs news. So the big news going around the NFL, obviously, from last night's obviously into today, the not so surprising move, Carolina Panthers have traded their star running back Christian McCaffrey to the San Francisco 49ers for four draft picks, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the draft picks are second round pick for the 2023 draft, a third round pick for the 2023 draft, and a fourth round pick for the 2023 draft, along with a fifth round draft pick for 2024 as well. So in all, those are four total picks in return for the Panthers, which, if not mistaken, it's almost exactly like the picks that they traded to get Baker Mayfield, if not most or not some of them. So they kind of got a lot of those picks back. But what are your thoughts, Rich, on this huge trade that, you know, it kind of was coming for a while, but, you know, it wasn't going to happen because of his contract. But obviously he lands in San Francisco.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where it's great for one side and terrible, in my opinion, for the other side, right? So great for the Panthers because they recover picks. They now have, I think, seven or eight now in the 2023 draft. And I think one of them is for next year. But they added draft capital back that they so much needed with their current rebuild process. And then on the Niners side, I think they don't have a first round, or sorry, they don't have a draft pick until round five of this year, or sorry, next year's draft, right? This season's end of this season. Well, no, I guess that is the beginning of next year, right? Since that's in the 23 season. So in the 23 NFL draft, right, they don't have a pick until the fifth round because, you know, let's say the Trey Lance pick, and then now everything they gave up for Christian McCaffrey. So, again, I think for the Panthers, it's really, really good. For the Niners, I don't get it. I get from my player perspective, I think he fits that system really, really well. But one of the biggest reasons why those running backs are hurt every other game, and Kyle Shanahan has gone through, I don't know, like 6 to 7 of them in his time as the San Francisco head coach, is because of their running style and how much they run, and maybe just the type of runs. Maybe they train a lot, you know, maybe they put a lot of workload on them in practice. And then you go and get Christian McCaffrey, who is amazingly talented. It's a great running back, but availability is part of health, or sorry, is part of your profile as a player. And he is hurt a lot, right? So you traded a lot for someone who is very often hurt. Now, when he's on the field, I think the scheme will be amazing. I think he'll do great things. But yeah, I don't get the Niners because it's almost like they're kind of in a win now mentality. But are they really going to win now with Jimmy G? You know, Trey Lance was not doing too hot, even though it's technically this year was his rookie year, right? Because he only played a little bit last year. Very, 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 very little, right? Even in preseason. So this year was going to be like his first full year, as Patrick did, and he gets hurt. So it's like, are you building up the team? And they've got talent everywhere. But, yeah, I just don't understand. That it's like they're putting all their eggs in one basket like the Rams did. Right. They don't have the pieces to make that deep of a run, even though they did beat the Packers last year right in the playoffs and then lost to the – who did they lose to in that? Was it the – no, they didn't lose to the Rams, did they? Because the Bucks played the Rams. But I can't remember who the Niners – lost to in the playoffs. Was it the Packers? No, they beat the Packers.
Yeah, I don't remember who beat them. I mean, I was going to say Tampa Bay, but I don't think so because Tampa Bay lost in the first round, I believe, last year.
Because Tampa played Los Angeles. I can't remember. No, the Niners did play the Rams, right, in the
that's right, the Rams NFC beat them. Championship. Yeah, that makes sense.
So I mean, actually, they did go pretty far kind of with the same team. So who knows, right? They know more about football than we do, but I just don't – anytime you give up that much draft capital for a guy that's hurt as often as Christian McCaffrey is, it's always weird to me. But, you know, if it pans out and they make it back to an NFC championship, I guess it worked out for them, right? So maybe what they'll do is they'll work him more in pass situations, right, where he's catching the ball, so he's not running as much, and maybe that'll improve his health. But yeah, like I said, it's I give the Panthers an A, and I give like the Niners a D plus, just because the plus could turn into a really good situation for them and McCaffrey.
Right. And, obviously they have, an explosive offensive player like Deebo Samuel that they kind of use a lot with, right? So now you add someone like Christian McCaffrey, if they both can stay healthy at the same time, you're looking at two dominant players that could take over a game at any point of the game. And so obviously when you have those two players, you don't have to use them all the time. Like they were using them, for their own teams with Carolina, McCaffrey, and obviously Deebo on San Francisco. So that could be a good advantage, obviously, going down the stretch, which to your degree, I don't get either why they traded that many picks for him. But I do get that obviously they're reliant on their defense at this point. Even though I know obviously they got beat by the Falcons last week, 28-14. And then that Falcons team isn't really that great, but I think where the but what you've seen from that game is where they're lacking is definitely offense. But like you said, it's definitely a lot to give in on just a 1 year run at this. Even though he's going to be on the books for the next what 2 years, I think even after this year. But yeah, I mean, I guess you can't really blame at the end of the day the Niners for kind of going after it and see what they can do. And be that NFC team that makes it to the Super Bowl this year. But I guess if you put on McCaffrey's side, I think it's good for his career because he's not going to get, I don't think he's going to get run into the ground like he was in Carolina when he was like, what, 80% of their offense or whatnot. So he's going to be, I think, used a lot better in San Francisco. And obviously, the longevity of his career is going to help with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's my thing. That's the plus side of it to me is that Kyle Shanahan is arguably, top three play caller in the NFL. And he knows how to get players in spaces, in matchups that are favorable to them. So that's what he'll do a ton of with McCaffrey. I mean, I had ventured to say that Kyle Shanahan is almost like a young Andy Reid, right, with how good he is at scheming things up to make sure that his best players are getting the ball where they are best at. So yeah, I mean, McCaffrey could do amazing there. I mean, his numbers technically aren't that bad after this year to where if it doesn't work, they could even like release him or something like that, right?
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, Kyle and Christian may have even hung out when they were young. Well, no, not like, no, now I'm thinking
So
of,
here,
because now I
well,
got
so
to see
here's a
the
re
age
well,
difference.
well, so here's a report that I read actually just a little bit ago. I mean, I knew that obviously Kyle, I think obviously is older than Christian is.
Right.
I believe whenever, because this is kind of cool because obviously the family knows each other.
Right.
Ed McCaffrey, who was Christian McCaffrey's dad, who obviously had that great career with the Broncos, and his head coach for most of the time he was there was Mike Shanahan, which is obviously Kyle Shanahan's
Right.
dad. So they obviously have that connection. Well, apparently, at least reportedly, actually, Kyle actually babysat Christian McCaffrey quite often
Yeah, I knew it was
when they were
something like that.
younger.
I had read
Yeah,
something about that, right?
so.
That they had done something together.
Yeah, so they know each other pretty well. So it actually kind of in a way it's kind of cool to see, now he's like, hey, I used to babysit you, now I'm coaching you, right? It's your career.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. And obviously, Christian went to he went to Stanford, right? So he's kind of it's kind of like a homecoming for him in a way, being back over there on the West Coast as well. So
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm sure there's definitely some calls in between Ed and Mike, Kyle and Christian, kind of full circles, because that stuff's always cool, even for the average Joes where kids play with their dad's son's high school buddy and stuff like that, right? So in when it's an NFL circle thing, I'm sure it's pretty cool too.
Yeah, so who knows, like, do you think like Ed or like even Mike was taking advice or Kyle was taking advice from his dad and was saying, hey, you gotta trade for McCaffrey so we can get this family thing going back on. But yeah, you don't know if
Right.
that has a lot to do it into it. I mean, obviously, then it's a football thing, but You know, maybe some of it does, obviously, but
well, yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, right, he knows his character more than anything, right? Which at that level, character, you know, if you can play, you can play, and your character, I wouldn't say comes second, but you know, you just know that person much better, right? And you know the work that he puts in, and maybe that's how Kyle convinced John Lynch to do it, right? Or if John Lynch went to Kyle and talked to him about it, he said, you know, I'm gonna have to give up all this stuff. You know, he's like, hey, I know he's a worker and all this stuff. So yeah, maybe it did factor in, right? Like you said, right, at the end of the day, I know it's a football decision and that comes first.
Right.
But something had to have gone really well because they gave up a ton of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
John Lynch and what's his name? Leslie from the Rams. They don't value draft picks. They just,
no.
You know, which I get, you know, I've always said I'm okay, especially the Chiefs since they're always trading late. Or not trading, but they're drafting late in the first round. I'd rather trade a late first round pick and get like an average to maybe slightly above average established pro versus drafting an unknown rookie, because those late round one players, early second round players, like, they don't really pan out. So you've kind of already vetted that process and they've already been in the league and they're accustomed to the league, like Orlando Brown Jr. You know, I'm fine with those kind of things too.
Yeah, because draft picks, like, you know, you don't know what you're going to get out of it. You right. could have a first-round top 15 pick. It'd be completely bust. And you could have a fifth-round pick who ends up being your starter for 10 years. So, I mean, really, yeah, you just don't know. And obviously, you know, people value number ones, like, really high. So, like you said, yeah, you get an established seven-year pro or, you know, even less than that, something that you can kind of, you know, give away a pick for. I mean, why not, right? I mean, if it's helping your team better at that point, you know, who cares? Now, obviously, if you have a younger team, maybe you're not doing so well, you want to hold on to those picks, right? So, but yeah, if you're trying to go for it all, like it seems like the Niners are kind of on the NFC side, then I guess that, I mean, I guess it's rational to see what they're doing for that reason. So actually leading into our Chiefs-Niners preview, this actually kind of helps because this trade goes down. So obviously you add McCaffrey now on to the San Francisco Niners team. So I guess before we start a preview on that, how much do you think he actually will play? Because I guess I was reading that obviously he might, you know, be like in red zone area targets or maybe, you know, it's a handful of plays. But do you think you even get to see him on the field that much this weekend against the Chiefs?
100%. I think he'll get – I mean, he'll at minimum get 10 touches, you know, pending the game is set up that way, right? But I think 10 touches, somewhere between 10 and 15 is pretty realistic. Mm-hmm. Smart kid, you know, been around football his whole life, knows the West Coast offense because I'm sure, you know, dad probably ran some things with him. So, yeah, right. It's just getting down the terminology. And I mean, these guys can get subbed out and be like, hey, run this, that's what this is. So, sure, it's not too foreign to him, but. Yeah, I mean, I definitely see him being a factor in the game this weekend.
And he's not like he's a pure wide receiver. I mean, yeah, he does catch his ball in the backfield, but at the end of the day, he's a running back, so he doesn't have to probably learn the playbook to a certain degree with routes-wise. You know, he could do a simple screen route or, you know, whatever they're going to do for it. At least for, you know, at least for this weekend, right? He doesn't have to learn a whole lot going into this game, I would think. But obviously after this, you know, he'll learn more in detail. So being a running back for in this situation probably helps him too.
Right. 100%.
All right, so yeah, coming into our Week 7 preview against the Niners, which will be Sunday, another late afternoon game. I swear, like, I don't know, has the Chiefs even played a noon game? It doesn't seem like they played a noon game. I know they have it at home, away maybe, like, what, once or twice, but it seems like they have all these late afternoon games. Yeah, the Colts game. So yeah, all these late afternoon games have been having. So it's another 3:25 game on Sunday there in San Francisco. So I'll send it over to you, Rich, for inside the numbers between the teams.
All right. So jumping straight into the records, right? Niners come in at 3-3. Chiefs are at 4-2. Leaders on the year are the typical names that you'd expect. Mahomes, with his numbers last year or last week, he is at 151 out of 229. A little bit over 1,700 yards and 17 touchdowns with 4 interceptions. Travis Kelce leads the way for the Chiefs with 41 receptions, 455 yards, and 7 touchdowns. So well on his way to another 1,000-yard season. Pretty high on the touchdowns. Might Hopefully he can get another 4 yard or four touchdown output and break
Right.
his touchdown record for the year. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire still leads the back, let's say the running game with 59 rushes, 256 yards, and two touchdowns. Not what you want to see out of a running back with only 256 yards this far along. So, but the Niners, right? So Jimmy G is now the quarterback since Trey Lance has been hurt. Since Trey Lance got hurt early on, he is 94 out of 148 with a little bit over 1,100 yards, seven touchdowns. And his interception numbers are not readily available. So I don't get why on this one that I look at on his yearly stats, it
Oh,
breaks out on a different spot.
for Jimmy G,
Yeah.
he's
So
got
Jimmy is,
three interceptions.
yep. So yeah, that's his interception count. And then receiver wise, their leader is Debo Samuel with 27 receptions, 345 yards, and two touchdowns. And then Jeff Wilson, the former starting running back, now that CMC is there, has 81 rushes, 400 yards, and two touchdowns, right? So those are the offensive leaders there for him. And then just going into the team numbers, kind of just go over the Niners rankings first, right? So on offense, they are at 19 in points scored, 22nd in passing yards per game, and then 12th in rushing yards per game. Defensively, they are second in the NFL in points allowed. They are second from a pass yardage perspective, and then they are second from a rushing yards perspective on the defensive end. So overall, they have second best defense in the NFL, right? From a pure points score, sorry, points allowed, and then how many yards they give up. So very, very, very good defense. Chiefs come into this game as the first ranked scoring offense, fourth in the air, 20th on the ground, and then defensively they are the 25th worst scoring defense. And in the air defensively, they're 27th ranked. On the ground, they are the fourth ranked. So good teams that could stop the run. Again, yardage is yardage, but seeing the Chiefs on the higher end of points allowed is never good, right? But we know that's kind of the Chiefs mantra. That's the Steve Spagnuolo model, right? Is to bend but don't break, and then you have Mahomes on the other side. So
Right.
injuries are going to be a big thing this week, right? Since we've got a lot of names, and that's always a constant in the San Francisco 49er lineup. So what do their injuries look like for this week?
So real quick, because I know it's crazy how you have the stats for the Niners, and obviously no one's really incorporated like his stats in there yet. But I mean, obviously, so like if you were to put his stats in there right now, he has the most attempts for running backs. I think he has 83 because Wilson has 81. Right there with about 393 yards, and Wilson's got 400, so it's only like a 7 yard difference. But he also leads receptions too. He has 33 receptions, where Deebo Samuel has 27. So, and I think he ranks like what, third for yardage wise. So yeah, it's like crazy how he leads both. He would lead right now for the Niners. He would lead both receptions and running attempts for the Niners, just because
Yeah, which
they,
it's crazy.
they mix things up too much. So yeah.
Where would he be? Let me see. Where would Christian McCaffrey be overall in comparison to all the receivers,
Oh, I have
the
this.
rest?
So he ranks 12th in the NFL in carries. He ranks 13th in rushing yards, 31st in targets, and 19th in receptions.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, he's behind, well, in between CeeDee Lamb and Devonta Smith. So,
Right.
yeah, it's like I said, if he's healthy, that's scary.
That's the thing. I mean, yeah, the thing about how it is right now with him is he is. I mean, like I said, when he's healthy, he's dominant. Like he's going to be in all those stat categories like that consistently. So, you know, who knows what happens the rest of the year with the Niners, but for them right now, they're like thinking we won the lottery basically. So we'll see what happens with that. All right. So going on to like the injury report, like he had said, starting here with the Chiefs for this Sunday, questionable guys we have is Mike Dana, defensive end. He's still dealing with that calf injury. Looks like he didn't practice early in the week, but he has been limited the last 2 days. He has played the last two games, so that's obviously a good sign that he'll probably still end up playing. Joe Thuney, who hurt his ankle, I believe in the second half last week in the Bills game, is questionable this week as well, but does appear that he'll end up playing this Sunday. Rashad Fenton is the only one who's officially been out so far, hamstring injury, so he did not practice all this week. So they said probably after the bye week next week that he should return for week 9, which I don't even know who we play week 9 now. But he should return there after the bye week against the Titans, actually. So it's the Titans. So we're going to expect him back. Now we are getting Willie Gay back from suspension. Obviously, he had the first 6 weeks suspension this year. So we are getting him back at linebacker. At least I think so. I haven't heard anything about him not playing. But Andy Reid did say he just wanted to see how he practiced this week. Well, I haven't seen anything that he wasn't going to play this week at all. They still have, I don't think they know if they've activated him officially on the roster either. So waiting for that, and also Trent McDuffie, who's been hurt since week 1, the one of the starting cornerbacks for the Chiefs. Obviously, he has only played that first week so far. Listed not as on the injury report, but I guess they're calling that questionable as well. So the Chiefs could be making a lot of moves here on between the active roster and everything in the next day or so if he ends up playing. But that is pretty much, I believe, as far as on the Chiefs front. I don't know if there's anybody else that I'm missing, because I was trying to miss if anybody else is coming back from a suspension or IR, but I believe those are the only two, at least for this game, for the Chiefs. Back to the onto the Niners. So it's funny because they actually, I think somebody said like they had like almost like 17 injuries or something coming into this week, but it appears that the only player so far that is listed out for them is the defensive lineman, Eric Armstrong. It looks like he has like a ankle injury. He didn't practice all this week, so he's obviously not playing this week. And then they have a few questionable players as Javarius Ward, used to be obviously the Chiefs starting quarterback for many years, has had a groin injury this week. Looks like he had tweaked it in the game last week. So he is questionable along with their uprising safety. Let's see if I can get this name right. Talanua Huafanga, concussion? Yeah, concussion, I guess.
That's close. That's close.
Yeah, he's high flyer out there for him right now playing the safety position. So far, I guess he had one more test to clear to be passed for that concussion protocol. So he's still questionable this Sunday as well. Now, players that are playing for the Niners that are not on the list, their left tackle Trent Williams, which I'm sure the Chiefs probably wish they would have, maybe would have tried to get instead of Orlando Brown Jr. Defensive end Nick Bosa, free safety Jimmy Ward, and their right tackle Mike McGlinchey. I believe is how he pronounced his last name. So it looks like they got a lot of healthy guys coming back this week, most importantly. So we'll have to see how that shakes out for Sunday, but that is pretty much the injury report for the Niners. So moving on to the keys of the game this week, what do you have, Rich, for on the offensive side?
So offensively, it's going to be all on the left and right tackle, right? I was thinking Nick Bosa wasn't going to play, but it looks like he is, right? How healthy he is, we won't know until they get out there. But I think that's a big one. Is whether it's on Wiley's side or on OBJ's side, they have to do a much better job than what they've done over the past few weeks, right? I mean, it's another top defensive end in the league that they're facing. Doesn't sound like, in any way possible Armstead will be playing, which is good because he's also great. But Thuney, Humphrey, and Smith would be handling him in the interior line, so that's a little bit better, right? But for me, yeah, it's all about the trenches. How much time are you able to give Patrick? I think he'll have a great game from taking care of the ball perspective. I think last week was the outlier, right? Man's just trying to make some plays. It's your last drive of the game. It is what it is, right? You either make a play or you don't. So that second interception to really count it, as you typically would an interception, right?
Right.
So, for me, it all comes down to Nick Bosa and I always forget this guy because he's just barely come out there. But Samson Ebukam, right? Mm-hmm. I know, let's say, he's not practicing, but if for some reason somehow he was to end up out there, he's someone also that's been doing really well for them. Drake Jackson, which I'm not mistaken, he's in what, his second year, because I remember him from his USC days as well. But yeah, they just do a really good job of creating pressure. Their defense is one of the top ones in the NFL. D'Amico Ryans, right, former Houston Texan linebacker, is their defensive coordinator. He just does a great job of creating pressure. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's Nick Bosa versus Orlando Brown or Andrew Wiley. And that is going to be the key to the game, because if Mahomes is running for his life all the time, that secondary is very able. They can move really, really well, and they hit and they intercept the ball all the time. So, yeah, we don't want that. We don't want Patrick running and, getting into it. Let's say with their secondary, where you're trying to find an open wide receiver, being chased down by that secondary.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be the key matchup looking for this week is definitely our offensive line. But like, what, quite frankly, like you said, like the Nick Bosa Wiley matchup. We'll see how that happens because obviously, we've seen even in the past few weeks, Von Miller and such, kind of getting rattled. Kind of getting the offensive line rattled. So where Mahomes is having to kind of run around a little bit more. So I'm right there with you as far as that's pretty much what. The Chiefs need to hold their ground on the offensive line for that and see how it happens. Hopefully, also too as well is obviously after the loss to the Bills, this wasn't as bad as the Colts loss. How bad they had played that game and they came back the next week and kind of came out on fire right in Tampa Bay. So I expect to see some kind of fire spark after the loss in the Bills last week, something similar like that. Hopefully, they have some kind of spark to kind of get off on a good start and kind of go up a touchdown or two. Hopefully, we'll see. But that's what I'm kind of hoping from the offense is, like I said, just make sure you protect as much as possible and, hopefully kind of can start that opening spark to start the game. What do you got for us on far as on the defensive side?
And real quick, I'm gonna jump back to some interesting numbers right on Bosa. So Nick Bosa, 22.1%, Charles Omenihu, 14.3%, and Samson Ebukam, 13.3%. The Niners are the only team in the NFL with three players over a 13% pressure rate. So the numbers I
Wow.
read off are pressure rates, right? So again, it's gonna be another big time test for our offensive line, right? We've already gone through Crosby, Jones, Mac, Bosa. I'm trying to think. Let's say the
Miller.
Colts. Yeah, with Von Miller last week and Greg Rousseau. I'm trying to think of the Colts, right? They don't. I don't think they
It's
have.
what the guy was
I mean, they got DeForest Buckner, but.
No, Ngakoue is like Ngakoue or whatever. Or sorry, for the Colts. Remember that?
Oh, they did have.
Ngakoue.
Yeah, they do have Yannick Ngakoue and
Yes.
the rookie Kwity Paye. But I mean, just another. Well, and then you had Tampa, right? With all the guys they got with Vita Vea. I always forget the late draft pick from Washington, because he has three names. And then there's. Oh my goodness, why am I forgetting there? The guy that. Oh, Shaq Barrett, right? So another really, really, really good team that knows how to rush the passer, or at least pressure him. So yeah, just it showcases the importance of a good game, and it needs to help the offensive line. I don't know if you saw that clip where Joe Burrow yells at Zach Taylor and tells him no more empty sets. But I think there's definitely got to be some discussions about chipping folks off the line or just keeping another tight end in. But we don't really have tight ends on block right now. So, well, I shouldn't say that because that's kind of bad for Travis Kelce. Where that's their primary responsibility is what I meant. So,
Like Blake Bell being hurt kind of hurt us a little bit on
right.
that end.
Big time. Yeah. Because Noah Gray's a really big wide receiver, basically. And so is Jordy Fortson. But yeah, so that's just a little stat I wanted to throw out there just to help everyone think about the importance of offensive line this game. So from a defensive perspective, Nick Bolton's been having, another great year. He had a really good rookie year. And then this one is just, he's just adding on top of it. I think he is very key to this game because Kyle Shanahan will scheme really, really well to get the ball into the playmaker's hands, right? Whether it's Samuel in the backfield, Whatever running back it is in the backfield, whether it's Christian McCaffrey or not. But either way, he will get the ball in the hands of people to make plays. So Bosa has to, one, get the defense, or I said Bosa, sorry, Bolton has to either recognize and get everyone adjusted appropriately, which I understand, that's they're NFL pros, right? They're already organized. But you got to make adjustments as things happen. And Mike is the one that does those things. So that's key. And then in the run game, dealing with everything that they do in the backfield, right? Whether it's getting the ball to Kyle Juszczyk, Kittle, who we haven't really talked about much. And then, McCaffrey, Samuel, all the stuff that they do that just moves people around, react to it appropriately, get people in the right places, and then make plays. If we can stop their run, they get to be in more reliant on Jimmy G, which is better for the Chiefs, right? Because they are very run-based, as in everything works off of the play action, typical West Coast style offense. So if you are able to stump the run game, make them do weather things, that's at least a little bit of a win for the Chiefs, right? So for me, the key is Bolton having an amazing game, playing the Mike linebacker role as best as possible, right? Channel his inner Ray Lewis, get everyone organized and stuff like that. And then on the back end in the secondary, how do we step up? How do we recover? And how do we bounce back from last week? Safeties, they did okay, but we also need to see a little bit more from them in regards to making plays when needed. Stop the run. And then if the secondary is called upon, right, because Debo Samuel does a lot of yak, right? He gets a lot of catches and takes them for a lot of distances. They don't hit too many just fly routes like Chiefs used to do or something like that. So again, make plays in the secondary because they're going to happen. You're going to be tested on your tackling ability. So that's what I think the keys to the game are, is Nick Bolton playing really, really well, channels inner Ray Lewis, and then secondary make plays when called upon.
So I like you called out, Bolton as far as obviously him to have a good game this week, being most important. Also, Willie Gay's coming back, and that's a big step for that linebacker core too as well. I will say you didn't really notice in a lot of ways that, obviously with the suspension, like he was gone a whole lot because Darius Harris stepped into that role pretty well and he played it pretty well. So it'd be interesting to see, kind of if, like I said, obviously this is pending on if he how much he does play in his first game back. They probably might split between Harris and Gay as far as how many snaps they get, but it'd be interesting to see, how Gay responds because this is his first game of the year, right? So, see how he responds being back from a team, and see if he's, kind of like pretty much locked in, with all the different weapons that the Niners pretty much have going on. So. Especially with Debo Samuel, like I think that was like my main point I was going to get across as far as on the defensive side is kind of make sure that you're always tracking him. Someone's tracking him throughout the whole field, and he's not ever getting pretty much anything kind of open the whole day because he's going to be like their main source of targets. I would think for the most part, trying to get him the ball as much as possible, whether it's in a running game, whether it's running reverses, all sorts of stuff. Like you kind of mentioned, like he gets those yak on a. Kind of yards all for everything. So that's pretty much one thing. And then hopefully, like I said, we can kind of continue to get pressure on the quarterback this week with obviously with Jimmy Garoppolo. So if we can kind of stop that run, kind of get hopefully get a few sacks on him this week as well. All right. So heading into our game predictions for this week. It's gotten harder for me, I think, every week doing this. I mean, I think it always kind of does. Obviously, last week I picked the Bills, and now I feel bad I picked the Bills because they won the game. But obviously, they deserved that win last week. But this week, I do see the Chiefs rebounding and winning this game 27 to 20. But obviously, I think that it could be where that 20th point from the Niners they score a late touchdown to keep it because then obviously the Chiefs' defense and how they play. Like to keep it close, so who knows? But I kind of do kind of expect it to be kind of close for the most part, but I think in the end it's be 27-20 Chiefs.
Yeah, so for me, I was gonna go something similar, but then I was like, it's the NFL, maybe they'll put up a little bit more points, and for sure, Bucker would at least get one kick, right? So I'm gonna actually go 31-27. My initial thought process was 31-20, but That was a Super Bowl score, right? So for that to happen
Yeah.
again, it'd be kind of crazy. But I'm going to go 31-27 Chiefs. I think, again, the score makes it look much closer. I think the Niners probably get a late touchdown to bring it to 27. But it's like 31-20 kind of with the comfortable lead there at the end. I just think Jimmy G will be, he'll be the one that, was has to beat the Chiefs, and he won't be able to. So as long as Patrick Mahomes is clean and the offense executes, like I said, I think the Chiefs will, the game will be a little bit easier than I think what most people are betting this game being.
Oh yeah, definitely so. But I kind of agree with you. I was gonna go a little bit higher with the Chiefs, but I decided to kind of go a little bit lower just because how the Niners defense is. Even though I think that Mahomes will actually get some of his few trademark plays in there, that their defense can't stop this week. So that's why that's kind of went a little bit low, but not too high, I guess you would say, for that the score on Sunday. All right, so heading into our final thoughts topic for today. Kind of basically goes back to what we kind of talked about at the beginning of this episode, but this time it's focusing more on the Carolina Panthers. So obviously now that they got draft picks back, I think they have, I want to say they have 7 draft picks, I think, for the NFL draft 2023 right now. But where does that team go from here? Now that obviously your coach got fired, so they obviously have an interim coach right now. They had a player that acted out on the sidelines last week. He got traded the day after, which we're talking about Robbie Anderson getting traded to the Cardinals. And now, just yesterday, Christian McCaffrey, who was your star player on the team, for the last, couple of years at least, last 3, 4 years, is now traded as well. So it's kind of looking kind of grim right now in Carolina. Obviously, I grew up there most of the time, so. Yes, they are still part of me in some ways. They're, my second team. So I do still follow a lot of the stuff that goes on there. But and we're not even really just talking about the Panthers. I mean, if you really look at the whole landscape in Charlotte as far as their whole professional sports teams, there are three that they have, whether it's the Charlotte Hornets in basketball, or obviously the Panthers in NFL, and obviously Charlotte FC in soccer. They have fired all three of those head coaches in the last 6 months alone. So it's like it's really been outside of the Carolina Hurricanes, which is the hockey team, but it's in Raleigh, so it's still in North Carolina. But outside of that, which they're actually pretty good, but they've been getting beat in the first, 2 rounds or whatever in the Stanley Cup playoffs the last few years. Outside of that, I mean, it's looking like most of the sports teams there hasn't been doing so well. So back focus on the Panthers. What would you do, Rich, I guess you would say, in this situation, other than, it's like you're trying to pretty much, I would say, in the most part, start over, but you do still have some good players on your team to kind of keep you going, at least throughout the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, what's crazy is earlier today I looked at, what does the cap space look like for the next year? And as of right now, if I keep everybody on board, and I don't know if this is including Christian or not, but they have like no cap space next year, right? So they'll be doing a lot of things to move certain players out. I think Baker takes up a big chunk of that, so does Sam Darnold, and I'm pretty sure they will not be back with the team. So they'll have space once those guys leave or whatever they do with them, right? But yeah, for me, I mean, this is a topic I've been talking to a few folks, right, including our Chiefs chat group, right? What makes sense to me if I were an NFL GM is you can't completely offload everything. Christian McCaffrey, he was great and everything, and I understand that at that time it's very hard to not re-sign one of the best players in the NFL when he's on your team, but you just never pay a running back, right? And I know he did more than a running back, so maybe he's the exception. And as much as he catches the ball, right, he's basically a wide receiver too. So maybe you can substantiate spending that amount of money on a running back. But aside from that, I mean, your big time players are DJ Moore, Brian Burns. They just got a rookie left tackle that's good. Taylor Moten is a right tackle who's pretty good. They have players in the spots that are needed to get to being good really fast, right? They have pressure. And they have, a couple good secondary players. They have a wide receiver. They just don't have a quarterback. Now they don't really have a running back, which isn't that big of an issue, but they have two tackles. So they're not that far off, right? So all that to just say that I don't think they should be offloading DJ Moore and Brian Burns and some of these guys, right? Just to get
Right.
draft picks when they've already recovered the draft picks they basically lost for Donald and Mayfield. So now they're set on this year's draft, right? Now, yeah, they want to acquire more. But the next thought process, and they, if I'm not mistaken, their GM came from Buffalo because I know Dan Morgan did, right? The former Panthers linebacker that was in Buffalo.
Correct.
But
Yep.
the thought process should be offload. I don't want to say dead weight because that's just sounds weird, right? But offload players that their production doesn't match their salary. You have to hit on this next year's draft. They're going to end up having a top 10, maybe even top 5 draft pick, maybe even number 1 overall in a very quarterback rich draft, in 2023. The thing is, finally did a good job and let it go of Matt Rhule because now they have a ton of time to figure out who their next coach is. And with the right acquisitions in free agency as well as drafting the right quarterback, they could be right back up there in a division that is lacking some stability for the future. Got the Bucks, who have Grandpa Brady, right?
Yeah, no joke.
Who isn't planning on retiring anytime soon, according to what he just said the other day. You have the Saints, who have no quarterback. They have a bunch of quarterbacks, which means you have no quarterback. So I just said Saints, the Bucks, the Panthers, and Atlanta. Same thing. They don't really have a quarterback. They have Mariota. They drafted Desmond Ridder. To be the backup, maybe even potential starter down the road. So the Panthers could get really good really fast if they, again, strike on a quarterback, because there's not going to be a free agent quarterback, right, that's going to make them really, really good. Any free agent quarterback is someone who's career backup or maybe a transition quarterback until you find out who your real quarterback is, right? If not, keep Baker. But get the head coaching pick perfect. It needs to be an offensive guru, right? I shouldn't say guru, but it needs to be somebody who has proven that they can work and develop a quarterback and call an offensive game plan. Make sure your defensive coordinator is a great hire. Let him build it up. But yeah, so again, that's what I would do is where they are at now, there's a few free or there's a few players that they need to just release, or let go at the end of the season, specifically the quarterbacks. Draft a good one. Hire the right offensive-minded coach that can develop a quarterback. And I think they'll be contending for that division title as quickly as next year, if not for sure the year after that. But if they let go of people like DJ Moore, Brian Burns, like forget about it. It's going to take years to recover. They're going to be in the Atlanta Falcons cycle of they're not getting better. They don't have any talent. They have like two good players and that's it. So
I
very,
still,
very long way to take, but
yeah.
that's what I like talking about is this kind of
Oh
stuff.
yeah. Yeah, because I know you're always about prospects and talking about draft and talking about futures of teams. So I know that's kind of right up your alley. So kind of that's why I want to kind of throw this next one at you is because I mean obviously I still think they're probably 2 years obviously away probably just
Yeah, for
because
sure.
maybe the development of a young quarterback, which kind of where I'm kind of going with this. So let's just say, for instance, they have a top five pick, maybe top three, right? Let's say we have top three. And you have your choice between CJ Stroud, right, for Ohio State, or the other guy, which I'm trying to think of his name now. Oh, Bryce Young, of course, right? Alabama. Those guys, one of those guys maybe fit on the Panthers, or do you go with maybe somebody else that might be out there coming into the draft?
So for me, if it's those two guys, I'm going 100% Bryce Young. I think CJ Stroud is good, but and I know you're never supposed to scout the helmet. I don't know if it's just the Big Ten and the defenses they face. Maybe they're just not as fast. They're not as fast as the SEC defense, but the defenses that you play in the SEC get you that much more prepared for the NFL than a defense in the Big Ten. So maybe that's diminishing CJ Stroud's skills, but what I'm saying is it's easier to score in the Big Ten. In the SEC, if you're scoring and putting up the numbers and the points that Bama and Bryce Young have, you're doing something right. And maybe he's not prototypical NFL quarterback size, right? He's not like 6'3", 230. He's 6'1", 215, and that, but he's got an arm. He's really smart. He's what you want out of a kid in regards to his personality, his leadership style, what you want out of someone leading your franchise. Super serious guy that takes football. You know, football is everything to him. And I'm not saying C.J. Stroud isn't, right, but I just really like how Bryce Young moves the ball, and I think he would fit the NFL game a little bit faster than, let's say, like a C.J. Stroud. But C.J. Stroud right. fits the typical NFL size a little bit better than Bryce, right? So, yeah, I think it's one of those to where they could even be super smart. And because this quarterback – or, sorry, this first-round quarterback class for this next year is should be pretty deep, they could even be super smart. And let's say if they're the fourth pick, right? Let's say they just happen to be the third or fourth pick. Bryce and CJ are gone, which they shouldn't, you know, because let's say, well, I guess they could be if Houston and Atlanta are in those top spots. Right, yeah. Or even Detroit. They could start leveraging that pick and say, hey, you know what? Let's say a team like Las Vegas, right? Or some team that might have a mid to late first round pick that needs a quarterback because that's all they're missing to make that push, gives them a call. Like what the Chiefs did with Patrick, right?
Right.
And say, hey, guys, we'll give you this year, next year's first round, and a second round. Now they've just added more picks. I can still get a quarterback. Yeah, it's not going to be Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud caliber. But, you know, what if it's Will Levis from Kentucky or Devin Leary from North Carolina State or, you know, my guy, Tyler Van Dyke from Miami. You can take those guys a little bit later, stockpile more picks for future rounds, get a quarterback. Maybe that isn't amazing, but maybe it could still be really, really good. You know, there's a good situation for him. And that's why I really like what they did in trying to get all those picks for Christian McCaffrey.
Recuperate, yeah, trying to get most of it back. Yeah, so it's going to be kind of interesting to see what they kind of end up going with. I mean, I think it's their time to probably pick their future quarterback because, like, they're starting to get, like, the Colts as of late, and you're picking up, you know, Darnold and Baker Mayfield, and it's not going to work. I mean, sometimes it does. Sometimes you throw something at the wall and it sticks and it works, right? But, you know, as of late, it's not working for a lot of these teams that are doing that, especially the Panthers. So, you know, they're going to be in that good spot to take a good quarterback. And like you said, there's quarterbacks that go, you know, all the way into, what, the second round, third round this year. There's going to be a pretty deep quarterback class. So they're kind of right there where, you know, they need to be. Now, unlike the Chiefs where, what was it, that one year we drafted Eric Fisher overall when there was no quarterbacks that year. So they're kind of in a good spot for that. So, yeah, I mean, you know, so I'm hoping that they can obviously, like you said, kind of maybe stick to most of the players they have. I mean, I could still see them probably trading away one or two more players, whether it be Moore or Burns. I mean, who knows? But those are probably players you definitely want to keep. But, you know, maybe some of these aging veterans like C.J. Henderson or something like that, you know, someone like that, that maybe a team needs a little bit of depth there. For some injuries or whatnot, I could see them kind of getting rid of some of those guys. Maybe not, like I said, for great picks, but, you know, maybe a fifth or sixth round pick, something like that, to add on to more of their trap capital they have for the year. But, yeah, I mean, it sucks where, you know, as if you're a Panthers fan, which, like I said, in aspect I am, even though obviously Chiefs are number one to me, it sucks to see that how well they are – sorry, how bad the offense is right now. So it's just – the defense is actually not that bad shape right now, but obviously the offense cannot move the ball. And like you said, their offensive line's looking really well, but they just don't have those player makers or the quarterback to get it going. So it's definitely, like I said, it sucks, but in the same aspect, if you do, you know, kind of don't look at where it kind of is right now, and you look kind of more towards how the future of the team could progress, you know, especially, like I said, also with searching for their new head coach, it will look like a bright future here soon enough. But, you know, right now it's just, you know, pretty much, you know, what, very cloudy right now, I guess you would say, and just not the greatest times. But as Chiefs fans, I will say we've been there before for sure. So, yeah, so it's definitely going to be a struggle, but I think they'll definitely end up getting through it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then here in a few years, we'll look back on this conversation and say we called it.
Yeah, right. We're gonna be like if they get somebody like Patrick Mahomes. No, I'm just kidding. But hey, you know, they always pick up some good quarterback that could kind of make their way and put them back in the playoffs. That'll actually conclude today's edition of the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. We'll actually be back here soon with our recap of the Chiefs and Niners Week 7 matchup. So don't forget to check that out once we have that posted. Thanks again for everyone listening. Don't forget to follow our podcast and go Chiefs!